from KQED.
About a week from now, state officials will open the newest version of their playbook to deal with climate change. Part of that plan is to generate a third of California's energy from low-carbon renewable sources by 2020. That means the first big push towards utility-scale solar power is on. PG&E recently signed a contract to buy power from what will be the largest solar energy-generating site in the world. But some worry that supersizing solar has sparked a land rush that could compromise California's deserts. For the first in our new occasional series, Climate Watch, David Gorin traveled to the sun-baked Mojave and filed this report.
It's hard to believe you're still on the planet out in the middle of the Mojave Desert. It's flat in every direction. Two highways through this desert, U.S. 395 and Route 58, seem to come out of nowhere and leave for nowhere. And those two roads intersect at Kramer Junction.
There's not much here. I mean, life's pretty simple here. So, you know, we got the Borax plant, which has got a museum. Boron's got a little tiny small museum.
There are about eight businesses in Kramer Junction, and Dennis Darr owns this one. A big garage housed in a U-shaped Quonset hut. A dozen classic cars and trucks are parked at odd angles throughout the place. Thermometers of all shapes and sizes are posted all over the garage. The ones just outside the doors say it's 106 degrees today.
So how hot does it get in Kramer Junction?
Pretty hot. Well, we see 117. We get over 100 often.
That's why Kramer Junction is home to one of three large-scale solar sites in the Mojave, with solar panels stretching over hundreds and hundreds of acres. There may not be much in Kramer Junction, but they do have one thing in abundance: sun.
Flat, boring, and sun are the characteristics that you sort of think about.
John Woolard is president of BrightSource, an Oakland-based company that hopes to build the largest solar energy generating site in the world. It would cover 5 square miles of desert next to the town of Ivanpah, near the Nevada border, and uses something called solar thermal technology, which will boost energy capacity to 400 megawatts, enough to power 280,000 homes. PG&E recently signed a contract to buy all the energy produced by the plant. It's the type of large-scale effort they'll need to meet the state's renewable energy target for 2020. Woolard says the solar business used to operate in a relative vacuum until last year when solar fever hit the Mojave.
We basically started this thing years ago and it was boring, it was sleepy and nobody was doing anything. And then there were 102 projects in a year. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was crazy.
That rush of solar projects in the desert, which at one point topped 130 applications for energy development, swamped the small regional office of the Federal Bureau of Land Management. Down in Moreno Valley, near Riverside, program manager Greg Miller says that only a handful of those projects will see the light of day, since they're estimated altogether to cover anywhere from 150,000 to a half million acres of desert. Miller says he couldn't possibly approve them all.
The Mojave's really big if you look at it as a desert. But if you start looking at it as putting in a solar energy project here, a wind energy project there, a transmission line here, it starts to get really small because there's not a lot of places left out there we can do that.
At the start of the summer, the Bureau called a timeout, a moratorium on new applications, so it could get through the landslide of proposals. The Bureau then reversed that decision because that timeout caused a huge uproar, not just among solar power companies, but among environmentalists, Miller says, who feared the Bureau might be dragging its feet on solar production.
You know, everybody wants to be green. I mean, it's a great concept. I mean, let's get solar energy working and going, but where to put it?
Or where not to put it, says Brad Mitzenfeld, a San Bernardino County supervisor. The sheer number of submitted proposals was enough for him to take a hard look at what could be approved. Carving out desert land just to feed the energy appetite of L.A. is a bad idea, he says. But he knows environmentalists are torn because they need more solar energy to bring down the amount of coal-burning energy.
You know, it's kind of ironic that in 1994 and the years leading up to it, it was so important to so many in the environmental community to protect the California desert. It resulted in the Desert Protection Act. where is the concern for protecting the desert now?
Back in Cramer Junction, Dennis Darr is kind of amused by all this excitement. In a town so small, it used to be just named Four Corners.
I've heard the talk, and it'd be a good industry for out here. There's certainly a lot of blank land out here.
But blank is in the eye of the beholder. The Bureau of Land Management says it wants to balance the needs of the nation with the needs of the desert. And meanwhile, it expects to see many more applications come across the desk in the next year. For the California Report, I'm David Gorn.
To see some of these giant solar arrays and the critters that could be displaced by them, visit our brand new Climate Watch website. There's a link at californiareport.org.